this is his first time running it and learning it all in the same night. That makes you a little more impressed on what he's doing, doesn't it? If you will, turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. I want to start in verse 18 and let this kind of be the theme for tonight's sermon. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the promises that you've given to us, dear Lord. Just thank you so much for your word and how it can be an encouragement to our lives. Dear Lord, just forgive us all our sins. Help us as we go through your scripture tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Tonight, over the last few weeks, it seems like there's a lot of problems. And I don't mean like problems coming to me or anything like that, but people facing problems, health, physical, things in the families, things like that. Me and Josh sat down the other day and we just got to talking. And so-and-so had this problem going on, so-and-so had this problem going on, so-and-so had this problem going on. Man, it just seems as if sometimes we can be so beat down. And I got to thinking in that moment, and Josh asked me to preach this week, I thought, I wonder if there's any way we can encourage our people. And after praying over that and really thinking this is a whole different text than I started out from, God led me to Romans 8. And Romans 8 is one of those passages of Scripture that you're probably very familiar with. There's a lot of great verses right here in Romans 8. A lot of great theologies built off of Romans 8. But I don't ever want to read a passage of Scripture and just miss out on what God is truly telling us. And so as I looked up suffering and as I came to this, Romans 18 just came to my mind over and over again. The first thing he talks about here in verse 18 is suffering. And you can look at verse 1 through 17, and it seems as if this is a pull in a different direction of the topic here. But verses 1 through 17 talk about living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And it seems as if we start wandering off of subject for a second, and I'm thankful that God led Paul to do that because these are some amazing scriptures. But Paul says, let's look at suffering for a moment. Suffering is not something that we just face today that the people that Paul was writing to didn't face. We all face suffering. Suffering has been around since the fall of man. You can look at verse 19 here in our text. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Suffering's been around for a while. I love that word vanity. If you look at that, you know, in when Solomon wrote about vanity, we tend to think about emptiness. But also vanity means disappointing misery. Because there is sin, we suffer. Because there is sin, we are faced with suffering. But there's some amazing scriptures in the Bible that talk about this, and a lot of them being right here in Romans 8. But one I wanted to point out to you tonight is John 16. John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Guess what? No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done for the Lord, you're going to face suffering. You're going to face tribulation. Trouble will come our way. We're going to have it. We're going to have to face it. I hate facing problems in my life, but I'm proud to know that in Romans, in John, that's not the end of the verse. If you read the rest of that verse, verse 33, it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And then Paul, as he looks back on that same thing in Romans 8:18, he says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Each time that suffering is brought up, both times it is reconciled with the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Our suffering somehow is overshadowed by His hope. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says something very similar to this, and I want you to see the relation here. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Weight of glory. Wow. Every time we've seen here tonight that suffering, affliction, tribulation is mentioned, we also see the glory to come. And that is one of the ways we can face suffering, is knowing that glory is coming. There is a day when Jesus, when he told His disciples there, "I have overcome the world," there is coming a day where He will show the world once and for all He's overcoming. There is hope of this glory, not only that I'll be able to see it, but what does Paul say? In verse 18, he says, "The glory which shall be revealed in us." It's not just a glory I will see, but it's a glory that I'll get to be a part of. He will show His glory in me. He will show His glory throughout the world. One day, His glory is coming to a full reality. And that's an amazing promise. It's an amazing thought in the middle of our suffering. Look at verse 20 and 21. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Glory is coming. One day the struggles and pains of this old world will be loosed. I will be free. And as Paul says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's coming. As I was studying this, I thought to myself this little phrase, and it's kind of been my anthem as I've studied for this message. Today is suffering, tomorrow's glory. Today is suffering, but tomorrow, when Jesus decides to send His Son back, there's glory. What an amazing thought. This word in verse 18, "reckon." For I reckon. This isn't the redneck term, "I reckon." This isn't Paul saying, "Well, I guess you're right." No, what Paul is saying here, this word "reckon" was a word accounted, calculated. And what Paul is saying, as I weigh glory up against our present suffering, they don't even compare. The glory that's coming dims, it makes this suffering, this light affliction, as if it was nothing compared to God's glory. What an amazing thought, what an amazing promise that we have, that the glory of God will one day be shown. As James Rowe said, "Won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there?" As we, like Paul, focus on the hope of glory, the struggles of this life tend to grow smaller and smaller. But I don't want to leave you just wishing glory would come. There's more to this scripture. There's more to talk about in our suffering. Because as real as it is, glory is not our only comfort. Christ has given us much more to deal with struggles of this life. Look at verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because we make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Some beautiful things here, but let me put it simply to us. In John 14:16, Jesus told us that He was going to give us a comforter. That same comforter is the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about right here. If you will, flip over to John 14, because there's another scripture there that I think you need to see. I love the promises of God, and I love what Christ has told us. John 14 and verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." I love that. Because it's in the middle of my struggles, it's in the middle of my pain, when I need to constantly be reminded what Jesus said. And that's what the Holy Spirit's there for. What does He say? He said, "I'll bring you to remembrance all things which I've said." That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. What better way to comfort us than give us the words of Jesus in the middle of our pain and suffering? The Holy Spirit is a true comforter. But not only does the Holy Spirit remind us of the things that Jesus has told us, but the Holy Spirit prays. I love this theology here, however you want to say it, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession on our behalf. Have you ever been in those moments in life where you're to the point you don't know what to tell God, you don't know what to ask for God, you're suffering, you're in pain? Guess what? There's one praying for you, the Holy Spirit. That the Scripture says, when you know not what to say, He makes intercession for you. The Spirit is praying over me with God's will for me. Have you ever been there? I have. I don't know what direction God wants me to go. I don't know what He's laying out in front of me. But there's a Holy Spirit that's there to comfort me, to remind me of His promises, and to pray for me according to God's will. What a comforter that God has given me. But listen, it doesn't stop there. We also, not only do we have the hope of glory, not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we need to remember who we are in Christ. We need to remember who we are in Christ. Look at verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." We need to remember that we are those that love God. We need to remember that Christ, He has a plan. And all the things we face in life often make us question God, but He's working it out. The good, the bad, the ugly, the dirty, the bright, the bitter, the easy, the hard, the happy, the sad, in prosperity, in poverty, in health, in sickness, in calm and the storm, in life and in death, all things He can work out for good. What a beautiful promise. No matter where we are in life or what we're going through, God can use it. God can use it. Verse 31, he says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Wow. Not only am I the one who loves Christ and Christ loves me, but I am His. I am His possession. If God be for us, who can be against us? There is not a force on this planet greater than the true living God. No matter the size of my struggle, God is bigger. No matter the size of my pain, God is bigger. No matter what I'm struggling with, He is there in the midst of it. And there's an amazing promise in His Word that there is none greater than He. I want to end with this, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors, not because of anything I've done, but because God loves us. I don't wander aimlessly like sheep following the sheep in front of them to the slaughterhouse. No, my life has purpose, and no matter what it is, even the devil himself cannot separate me from the one who loves me. It's refreshing to know that in the midst of my struggles, I am identified with Christ. I'm on the winning team. Though life may be wearing me out, Jesus is going to see me through. The question I want to leave you with tonight is, how do you face struggles? If you're here tonight and you don't know the hope of glory, brother, there's not much hope outside of that. If you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Spirit on your behalf working in your life, I can only imagine the size of your struggle. If you don't have the promises of Christ overshadowing your life, how do you make it through? There's a Savior tonight that wants to help you make it through. There's a Savior tonight that wants to give you that same hope that He gives us in His Word. There's a Savior tonight that wants to send you a comforter to guide your life and take you in the way that He wants you to go. As we get ready for a hymn of invitation, how will you respond? If you're here tonight and you say, "Trey, I've been saved. I know Jesus as my Savior." Let's think upon these things. Oh, one day He's coming back to change us, to bring about His glory, not only so we can see, but that He wants to make His glory known through us. Isn't that amazing? But also, He wants to guide our lives. And do we grieve the Holy Spirit, or do we give Him full reign in our lives? And last thing, do we remember His promises? Do we focus on the words that He's given to us and let them overshadow our lives and lead our lives? How do you deal with struggles? I lean on the Lord. I lean on the Lord as we sing.